Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
your temporary hosts bid you a fond adieu. Hello there, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. I am your fill-in host, Billy Coble, with my good friend Will Pfeiffer. Will, hello!
I know, it's kind of a sad day here at Rockin' the Suburbs.
Finalizing our five-day run, subbing for Jim and Patrick.
I know, it's sad.
What do you think they're doing right now?
They're saying, what did we do?
I agree.
What they're doing now is they're rushing to the studio to see if they can prevent today's broadcast. I don't think they can.
I'm not giving this to them until Sunday night before.
That's right.
There's no way.
No time to fix it. But anyway, we've had a good time.
Yeah, we've covered, we had a couple themes. We covered gruff singers. We covered polished pop.
Mm-hmm.
Covered Will's long-standing love affair with Super Chunk.
That's right. I do love him.
And today, I have no theme at all.
No. But I figured, well, personally me, as long as I'm being self-indulgent on my last show, I will cover my... I have three favorite bands. I have the Ramones, which we played. I have Superchunk, which we played. And today, I will talk about the third one, The Replacements.
The Replacements? Who would they replace?
Ha ha ha! They used to put that as a joke, like playing tonight, The Replacements. The original name was, I believe, The Impediments. They're a Minneapolis band, but they were so drunk and screwed up so many shows, they had to change their name or no one would book them.
The Impediments is a terrible name.
I know. Well, say they changed to Replacements. So, but they're a
legend. Thing you do.
They came out of that whole, Minneapolis scene in the 80s, like with Husker Du, maybe Soul Asylum a little bit. So those were three bands. Plus Prince, but he was on another level than everyone else. I think we can all agree.
Every other human.
Yeah, every other human. And, I fell in love with them in college. Again, the same roommates who introduced me to bands like the New York Dolls introduced me to the Replacements. They played a concert at Kent State when I was, I think, a junior. They played in the same hall where I had had my freshman psych class.
So I don't mean to be silent on this one. I don't know anything.
Okay.
I don't know anything about the Replacements.
They were, they're one of those, I guess, I don't know if you'd call them a critics band. Of course, they never really had many hits. They had a few videos. They were one of those bands that sort of sabotaged their own success a lot, maybe.
Okay.
They weren't on Saturday Night Live and they screwed around so much. I think Lorne Michaels said he would never have them back. They would release videos and you can look up their videos on YouTube and, the early ones do not have the band members in them. It's like a shot of a speaker for 3 minutes. They were that kind of band.
Yeah, yeah.
They are all...
They're the Andy Kaufman of music.
Well, Andy Kaufman implies it was more deliberate. They were drunk a lot. Especially, I mean drunk as in one of the band members died. And it was like, they think they all went into recovery.
I take back my laughter.
Tommy, who was the bassist, Tommy Stinson, and he was just a young teenager when the band started. I think he was like 14 or 12, maybe? So picture a 12-year-old playing in bands every night.
Yeah.
As they said, I know one of your favorite bands is Bad Religion,
yeah.
And they have some graduate degrees or doctorates
them. I named my kid after Bad Religion.
There you go. Well, the Replacements, on the other hand, they once bragged that not a driver's license or diploma among us. Now, normally, I wouldn't respect that. However,
it reminds me of Green Day. Green Day recruited Trey Cool when he was like 14.
Yeah, well,
and he was in a band called The Lookouts with Larry Livermore, I think, on
Is
Lookout
that where
Records.
Lookout Records came?
Yeah,
there
and
you go.
Trey Cool's start was they would give him like a cymbal and a snare drum. And then as 3-4 months went by, they go, all right, you can have a bass drum.
There you go.
And they go, all right, you can have a tom. And so you can kind of hear it in his music hall. Everything's really cymbal, snare.
Because he learned it piecemeal.
That's how he played it.
There you go.
So what song are we going to listen to from The Replacements?
Let's see. Well, let's listen to...
Isn't The Replacements a Keanu Reeves film or like football?
Yes, it is. This is much as that band The Middle you were talking about. The Replacements are also a Keanu Reeves film. The same thing.
The band was Jimmy Eat World.
Let's listen to... This will give you a flavor of the early Replacements. This is a song called Kids Don't Follow, and it starts off with a recording of the Minneapolis police breaking up a party.
The party is over with, grab your stuff and go, and then nobody goes to jail.
And what don't you ever?
Yeah.
So for being so like in your face and obnoxious, they're not without talent.
No, they're not.
They're good at their instruments.
They are. Bob Stinson was a guitarist, great guitarist. Chris Morris, a drummer. Tommy was the bassist, and Paul was a singer. And as you'll see, because we'll play a couple more songs, they sort of become more refined. And the other thing that happens is Paul Westerberg's lyrics get more of a showcase. And I'm not the only one, but I honestly think he's one of the like great rock lyricists.
So it seemed like in that song, Kids Don't Follow, the guitar player ran the show.
Yeah. And I think, and the band was Bob's before Paul came in.
Okay.
So, and then Bob is the one who, Bob had a lot of health issues. Okay. And he had mental health issues too. He's the one who died.
Got it.
And, so, but yeah, a lot of people talk about the Replacements and the lyrics, which definitely is there, but yeah, that, the guitar work cannot be.
Hard. I was just thinking about I'm a reasonably good drummer. Just, you know, objectively speaking, I'm good at drums.
Yeah.
I'm a miserable guitar player. And I was like, I don't know how to.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah.
I was like, no, I can't do that.
And he was a wild man too. But yeah. I mean,
and
they
take stamina too. It's exhausting.
The way they played, I've seen him 3 times in concert. And they left it all out there on the stage.
So that album was called Stink.
Although
the Replacements stink.
Exactly. That's how we like this. It's not so much Stink. It's the Replacements stink, which is great.
What's the next one you got for me?
Let's listen to, Kiss Me on the Bus.
Ooh, get kicked off the bus.
This is a very much, this is much poppier. It's same lineup, and this is, this is such a sweet little romantic song.
Okay. On the bus, that's where we're riding. On the bus, okay, don't say hi. That one sounds, now maybe I'm wrong, but that one sounds much more like 80s almost.
Well, it was 80s.
Okay.
But it's more,
it's definitely toned down.
It's more, and they still would do harder songs on it, but nothing quite as hard as Kids Don't Follow.
Sure.
I mean, they got more polished, and they wanted some mainstream success.
If you're in a band, you want to be able to.
You want people to
yourself.
Hear your music.
Yeah, and support
exactly.
yourself, and yeah.
Exactly.
It kind of reminds me, have you ever seen, you've seen Silicon Valley?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, audience members, if you've seen Silicon Valley, you'll know what I'm talking about. At some point, the head of Hooli says to our hero, Richard,
right?
Like, why don't you just sell me your stuff? That's just what's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
And the guy says, Richard says, I don't want to become just some soulless corporation. And the head of Hooli turns around and goes, what do you think you're doing? You make a product, you get rich and famous, you hire more people.
Like, and he's not wrong.
And it's like, that's what you're, even if your intent isn't to do that, that's sort of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's how bands are. Like, you don't necessarily, like, go out and go, I'm going to make $1 trillion, but you want to be heard. You want to be able to play music for a living.
But you might not want to, like, quote unquote, sell out.
Yeah.
But at the very least, if you're recording music, you want people to hear it.
Sure.
You want a bigger audience to hear it.
I kind of like that. I don't love this, but I kind of like it. Actually, I think I like Superchunk better.
Okay.
So what do you have one more?
I got one more. And this is, because I want to play this because yesterday we talked about sort of bands and that melancholy feeling and as you get older. And this is a song, it's called Here Comes a Regular. And this is a song when I was in college and I would listen to it, I would think, boy, that's a sad song. But now that I'm 50 and listen to it, it's insanely, it's like heartbreaking because it's all about a guy who essentially is a drunk and he's wasted his life. But this is a great example of Westerberg's lyrics, I think.
Well, a person watch it all. The sun has passed, it's too late to cut the grass. There ain't much to break anyway in the fall. And sometimes I just stay in the mood to change my place and back for loud mouths. You're like a picture on the fridge, it's never stocked with food. You used to live at home, now I stay at the house. And everybody wants to be special here. They call your name out loud and
thanks for bringing it way down, Will.
I know. And like I said, when I was in college, I'd be like, wow, that would be kind of sad. But now, as you get longer in life and you realize, you know, there are people, I mean, you realize at a certain point in your life, you can't turn it around. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I think the lyric where he says, you're like a picture on a fridge that's never stocked with food. That's a great lyric. But what comes next is even better when he says, I used to live at home, now I stay at the house. And I think that, like, that says so much in one line.
That's a bummer.
It's sad, but that's good lyric, right?
I don't have a good segue other than to say the song I want to play. I want to transition to some newer stuff because mm-hmm. we're running out of time on this little
okay. My five trip episode. Down grim memory lane, drunken
well,
memory
you're just
lane.
Carrying off what I—that's what I was doing yesterday. I think it's important to find new music, even if it's not new. It's new to me,
right? Exactly.
And there's one band called the Menzingers.
Menzingers.
They're from Pennsylvania. Okay. I think. Scranton, PA, and okay. they moved to like Philly. I want to say sorry. I had to think. I could okay. not remember Scranton. All I could think of was Scrantonicity from The Office.
That's it. It's a real city.
They had this song. I'm pretty sure it's about a divorce, and it is very, very sad and but honest. And I want to play the first verse and chorus for you. This one's called "Where Your Heart Aches."
Okay.
Are you depressed yet, audience?
I know. I tell you what I like. I like that. And I'll tell you what I liked about it. I liked that part toward the end when the chorus kicked in. And, you know, we were talking in a couple episodes ago about the harmonies and this and that. Mm-hmm. I liked how their voices didn't quite fit together.
Yeah.
You could hear the individual voices, and I thought that had more of a punch to it.
That's fair. It's not super polished.
I like it, though. I don't want it to be super polished.
I've listened. I don't. So that album came out, I think, in 2015, maybe 2014. And the stuff before that, they have like 10 years of music. This band's been around forever. I just missed
Menzingers. You know, they do sound familiar.
Right. I always said Menzingers. And I was like, nope, it's Menzingers.
Is it Menzingers?
And, yep. I heard him. Okay. I heard the guy say it in an interview, and I've been saying it wrong for 3 months, and I made sure I wanted to have it right for the episode. They yelled a lot. Like the singer would come out like a screamy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think they've dialed that back.
They probably have to.
But you can hear it on, like, when they do their, like, three-part harmonies, you can hear one of the three parts is sort of a little strained, a little stretchy.
I like that.
I do, too.
Yeah, I like that.
Let me give you one more from these guys. I think they're just good, and I want to see them succeed. This one's called After the Party, and this album came out in this year, early this year, February or so of 2017.
Okay.
So after the party, the things I like about the Menzingers is that it kind of makes me remember, I want to say this with some nuance, but it reminds me of being poor. It reminds me of being young and like feeling things a little more, like everything's a little more raw and the sense that everything matters.
I think that's what pop music does.
Yeah.
It makes it, I have this, there's this band I didn't bring called Velvet Crush, this band I liked in the 90s, and they were kind of retro, kind of like a very pop-oriented band, like a really heavily produced band. And they had this album. It was called Teenage Symphonies to God, which I think was a Phil Spector quote. Okay. And it is like pop songs are like when you're a teen, every moment means, or when you're young.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
means so much.
Every day is different. Every day is something right. like it's the first time you've experienced something.
Like if you meet a girl, it's like, the world is the greatest place. Right. And if you lose a girl, it's like the world doesn't deserve to exist. And, you know, as you get older and you experience those things kind of smooth out, but great pop, it keeps those hills and valleys.
I sort of find myself trying to like capture memories, like, you know, with my kids and stuff, like every day is just sort of parenting and it's just like keep, you know, don't let them fall down the stairs. You know, it's just you have the base level parenting stuff and then you wake up and go, oh my God, like the kid doesn't snuggle anymore because he's three instead of one, you know, like. It's very hard to feel something like that. Anyway.
You know, I mean, I feel the same way. And I've, you know, when you're a teen and you're into this music, especially that your parents don't listen to or, you know, in all this culture. Now my kid's into stuff that I don't, you know, now I'm the old man who's like, oh, what's that? I never heard of that and this and that. And
So when I share a song like After the Party from the Menzingers, it's, I don't know if it's world changing rock music or anything, but to me, it's one of the first times I've listened to a band in 2017 that made me feel like it was 1997 again. That made me feel 14 and feel like, man, like, I don't know. And the video is not so great, but it kind of shares that where the whole theme is, you know, the party's fun, but what happens after the party? What are the consequences? Right. What do you wake up to?
And, you know, a lot of the bands we've talked about this week, like the Ramones or Replacements or, you know, Superchunk. I mean, I like them better than a band like U2, not just because of the music, but because they're more mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're not everybody's. They're mine.
I've never, that's actually maybe a corner of, I told you I don't run into people who share my music anymore. That's on me too. I've actively been like, I couldn't name three Springsteen songs. I just don't. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm with you. I could name them, but it's like, and they're fine, but I can't ever picture buying an album.
No, like, my wife constantly wants to go to like big concerts. She's like, I want to see John Mayer. I want to see the Counting Crows or whatever. Just maybe those aren't that big,
but I know what you mean.
But to her, they're in her ballpark. Sure. And it's, I just can't. I'm like,
I can't do it. And you know, but for what, you know, and I mean, the thing is though, and it's hard to do this, but you know, you have to give people, you know, people will connect with what they're going to connect with.
Sure.
And if a Coldplay song means something to someone, right, then it means something to them. I mean, and it's a jerk move to laugh at them.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm the type to go out of my way to say your music sucks. I am the type, maybe a one step back. You know how sort of people think like the Southern charm is actually super mean? Like it's not real. It's sort of, I read this article the other day that Midwestern is actually much meaner than the South.
I can believe it.
Because it's the things we don't say.
Right, right.
It's kind of like when somebody's like, hey, I got a haircut. And you know, your mom or whoever goes, I saw.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh my God, like they hate it.
I know. But I mean, you know, you have to be honest. You don't have to be honest and be a jerk like that music sucks, but you know.
But I kind of Midwestern people's music where they go, oh, I love you too. And I go, oh, okay.
Billy, you hosted a movie podcast with me. I did that to movies all the time. So many people be like, my favorite movie is Patch Adams. You're like,
I saw that.
Yeah. That one I would tell people I hate it and berate them. But no, I mean, there's an old quote, I think. Here I go a little highbrow as we wind it up. But there's an old quote from, I think, Noel Coward, who said, it's extraordinary how potent cheap music is. And it's true. It's like, you can't pick the songs that gut punch you.
Sure.
But sometimes they do.
I can give you one more. I think we have enough time for one more song.
One more.
If you want.
For who?
For one more song if you want to play it. I got one more lined up too.
Okay. Since we did, let me do one more replacements. I was kind of hoping you would say this. Well, no, I'm going to keep the theme, but we're going to do, we really brought things down
with the whole episode,
but let's do Alex Chilton, which is off their album, Pleased to Meet Me, which to me is one of the most important albums of my life. I love this album. I listen to it constantly. This is when I first saw him in concert. And this is a song about Alex Chilton, who was he was in the band Big Star. He was in the band the Box Tops in the 60s. Okay. You know, the song, My Baby Wrote Me a Letter.
That was
not as many people think an older African-American guy. It was a 16-year-old kid. It was Alex Chilton.
Wow.
White kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But this is a song about him because he was also legendarily a screw-up and kind of a reprobate.
All right,
as the Replacements were.
Kind of reminds you of like Gaslight Anthem. Have you ever heard them?
I've heard of them. I don't think I've ever heard them, but
sort of has that melancholy sadness mixed with the up-tempo.
Yeah, it's very it's a bit peppy and kind of goofy and
Do you like what do you like about it?
I love the lyrics. I mean, it's just clever wordplay all through. I like how I guess maybe it sounds a little melancholy, but to me it just sounds so upbeat and kind of like, I don't know. It
reminds me of, it's like a song about like somebody who should have been more. There's sort of a sadness to that.
He is, but they also really looked up to Alex Chilton too, because they loved the band Big Star, which is like it's one of those bands that never made it, but it had a huge influence. So they're singing about one of their heroes, but they're also acknowledging that he was kind of a goof too.
Got it. All right. This is my last song.
Okay.
I'm only playing this. There's no segue. I love this band. They are not famous enough. And I don't think they're active anymore. But I put a tweet out about a year ago that said, hey, if you guys are listening, I just wanted to let you know that people, more people should have listened to you. This is called the Junior Varsity.
Junior Varsity.
They're from Central Illinois.
Okay.
And they were active until 2012 or so, I think. They, okay. I think I've seen on their Wikipedia, they had like, you know, a couple one-off concerts. But when my wife and I were still just dating, we went to a Barnes & Noble, which was a store where you could buy books, if anybody is not aware. I don't think they exist anymore, right? Or
they
maybe
do.
They do.
Borders don't.
Borders. Maybe it was Borders, actually. It doesn't matter. And I bought this album exclusively because I knew the label. And I like the album art.
Okay, and really?
I picked it up and I was going to put it back.
That's a ballsy move.
Yeah, I just knew the label. Like, my favorite band was
you
on
knew
the
what
same. Yeah, it was on Victory Records, who I've heard bad things about. But I liked the other bands on the label.
Uh-huh.
And I actually remember I put it back and my wife was like, you know, my girlfriend at the time was like, well, why didn't you get it? And I was like, I don't know. And so we went to the car and like a few minutes later, she came out of the store and she had
Aww, what a sweetie.
Like, well, it was really nice. It was like one of the things that for me, so we listened to it. I don't think she loved it, but I want to play it for you because
she regretted it.
I love this band.
Okay. The Junior Varsity.
Got a good job and a pretty wife. Strong belief in the afterlife. Spend all your time complaining, so you really should be thanking all those people you think you're for. I think I've seen this one before. Where the lead man stumbles through the door. Idolize a statue like on the outside, but inside he's rotten to the core. You must think that it's so important. You can't keep a nice one to take. Now it's gotten too deep and you can't fall asleep. Keep your ghost away. You think you've got it figured out this time, hoping that luck pays the bills.
And there you have it.
Billy, I liked it.
I like him a lot.
I didn't like it quite as much as the...
God's Reflex.
God's Reflex. And who was the last one we missed?
Menzingers.
Those were my two favorites, the ones you played.
Well, it's good. At the end, I'm glad we caught up at the end here.
We did.
I wanted to correct the record a little bit. They broke up in 2007 and then came back for a year in 2010. So it's been 10 years.
It's been a
decade.
While.
Yeah.
Guys, time to get back together.
But when I put that thing in, I was like shocked at how good it was and complicated and layered and nuanced.
There's nothing like that when you put in an album and you're
like,
oh,
damn,
this is what
like,
I wanted.
It's
yeah.
so good. And I can't, it's exactly, I didn't know I wanted it, you know?
Mm.
So this has been a fun week.
This has been a fun week. I can't believe it's passed so quickly. It seems like just a few hours ago.
I see what you did there. We have to thank Jim and Patrick for letting us
do
this.
Thanks, guys. I know you regret this, but we had fun.
I hope at some point you accept my Facebook friendship request, Patrick. If you like the show with the regular host, you guys can listen every single day through... Yeah, it's every day through Apple Podcasts, on iTunes Store, through Audio Boom, and through other podcast platforms like Stitcher, Google Play, right. etc.
You can also go to their website, suburbspod.com, and check out things there.
And email the show at rock@suburbspod.com.
There's a Twitter account, Facebook, and Instagram at suburbspod.
And they have a party line, which I like that they didn't just call it a voicemail line. Or
right, it's a party line. It's like a bunch of people calling at once.
It's like the 1950s again. Like, yeah. You just pick up and hello.
Do you remember that commercial from the 90s where it'd be like, they had like some call-in line for teens. They'd be like, do you like Bruce? Everybody likes Bruce. I always remember that line. It was like Springsteen. It was supposed to be.
I was 10.
Dude, did you not watch TV?
I don't know. Maybe I was above TV when I was 10. The number to call is 612-440-1984.
I know.
Which I kind of like. I see what they did.
You like that?
And if you want to call us and follow up with us, or I guess tweet us.
Should we give our phone numbers out?
No, I'm not giving mine out. If you want to tweet us, mine's at Billy Culpa, BILLYKULPA.
And mine is at Will Pfeiffer, WILLPFEIFER.
That is so many letters.
It is a lot of letters.
We used to do a podcast called Out of Theaters. It's on Twitter, at Out of Theaters, and at outoftheaters.com. We just looked at old movies, and you got takes from somebody who's seen it and somebody who hasn't.
Mm-hmm. And all those episodes are still up, and there's some good stuff, and you can pick what movie you might be interested in and just click and play.
If you listen to those, I don't need to hear that my opinion stinks. You know what? Your opinion stinks. Thanks for letting us do this again. Thanks for listening with us all week, everybody. And you'll have your regular host back on Monday. Will, a pleasure.
It was. And some nights we fall out of love.